last night on The Tomorrow Show. Found out the meaning of Roxy's North Node. Since Michael won't touch his loins, the wet dreams will flow. Had my first taste of Xanax out on the road. And Taylor Swift released her new video. It's hot.
New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of The Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro!
No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play on.
I feel like I'm not even close to smooth enough to groove to this song. Like, nothing about me is cool enough for this song. Except for the fact that I dated a guy whose ringtone was this for a long time.
Welcome back.
No, different guy. You're here at The Tomorrow Show, and I'm not Kevin Undergaro. I am Roxy Stryer. Not quite as good, but hey, it's a Thursday. You're all probably drunk anyway, so we could just pretend that my name's Kevin, right? You think we could do that for a little while? I'm getting a nice nod from Lauren LaGrosso at the bar.
This is my favorite part.
This is?
Yeah.
Everybody shut up for Sean's favorite part.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Everybody.
STFU.
This is Xbox favorite part, Lauren. You're next, okay?
Okay. I almost ruined it. Really sorry. Apologies.
No, my apologies, beautiful lady.
Why is that your favorite part, Sean?
I just like how smooth that is. Yeah.
Right? Like, this song is so chill. Right. Like, you have to be a good dancer, sexy, with abs to listen to this song.
And a puppeteer, apparently, from the video.
At no time are
There's
you ever this smooth?
In the video.
No, at no.
Not in private or anything?
No. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute because I am even less smooth in private than I am in public. Coming back to you, though, Lauren, over there at the bar. Glad to have you over sitting there.
Roxy, it's an honor. It really is.
I am honored and humbled, my friend.
I truly am humbled. So far, our little booth dwellers are doing such a beautiful job. I really
Thank
hope they
you,
keep
Lo.
It up.
I actually got a nice text message. We would like to be reminded that it is Booth.
Booth.
It is the Booth Dwellers. Bonjour.
Who sent you that text?
One Kevin Anthony Undergaro. That's not his middle name.
Got
I don't know
it.
What it is. Bonjour. What's going on, Jules? She doesn't like us enough to respond to that.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey.
You were missed the week you were gone.
Aww.
All right, bonjour. I'm back with you. You good now?
I'm good. Someone didn't turn my mic up.
You got fucked by Michael?
I got fucked. No one wants to.
She's the first.
Michael, you fucked bonjour?
Ooh, juicy.
Yeah. I like that little duo in the booth right now. It seems like it's getting steamy in there.
They really are.
I've never been less convinced of anything in my entire life than Bonjour saying it really is. Ashley Daniels over at the social media station.
What's up, Roxy Stryer?
I really like your hair back like this, girlfriend.
Thank you. I know Kevin always likes my hair back too. It's funny. So I did it because I'm just hot as F.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Damn right.
No, not me. No, it's hot out. It's 123 degrees driving here today, guys. If you live in LA, you know.
Yeah.
123,
true.
For
but,
real.
All right, in all fairness, I was bitching to somebody today about the heat, and they were like, you know, it's flooding in parts of the country, right?
Oh, yeah,
and
of
I was
course.
Like, oh, I'm a big bitch.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There is a pretty bad fire brewing here, apparently.
That's true.
Yeah. So
but we can't care because the song's too cool.
That's exactly right.
No, but actually, Ash, it's interesting that you said that because Kevin always told me that young people should all wear their hair back. So as a little Kevinism for you youngsters out there, if you're a woman, put that hair back because he says you only wear your hair forward to cover something.
Yeah.
So don't do it if you're young.
I'm totally in agreement with Kevin on that.
Really, Sean? You think for women, for men, for everything?
For the ladies.
For the ladies.
Yes, mostly. I wow, that just the sudden stoppage of the music really caught me off guard.
Yeah, Michael will get there eventually.
I feel he'll be able to fade. As long as down the road, like,
that was
like,
a really nice fade.
That was a
fade
down.
Really nice fade.
That wasn't a stoppage.
just slam it in park.
The
why don't you?
Booth usually takes whatever criticism we throw at them. They both turned at me like they were gonna take an axe and murder my family.
<That's not> true.
They were like, "That was the best transition we've ever had."
It was a moderately good fade. I do have to give them credit. I saw them pulling it down. They were trying.
They're all trying to save Lauren from having to go back in the booth. They're trying. But what do you mean, Sean? Why all the way back for the women? It's just a sexier look?
I guess. I just always liked it when the features, like when the facial features were
more
presented
prominent.
more prominent. Yes. Mm. And it's weird though, because I used to always want my wife to have her hair back, but then when she cut it short, I hated it.
I don't understand. If you like hair back, why don't you like short hair? Because that's another thing Kevin says. You need all women to wear their hair long. You want it back, but you want it long? Why don't you just want it to buzz it?
Don't
like
ask
the option.
Me.
No, I think he likes it. If it's down, he doesn't want it short. He doesn't want it short. He wants it long if it's down, and he wants it, you know, if it's up, he doesn't care. But I think most guys are like that. They like something like
they can grab.
When the hair is in the French braid or all that different cool shit that ladies do to their hair. Fucking huge fan of that.
Oh, so like you Khaleesi. don't want it just thrown back. You want some
that too.
Effort into
no,
it.
No, that's fine too.
You want us to go spend that money
you
to get our hair.
To go to 901 and get like our which is a very expensive salon.
I don't mind paying for
it. Braids.
Oh,
Sean, well, we could go to the salon this weekend.
And ladies like having that shit done, because I know I like getting fucked with like that.
Have you ever been a sugar daddy?
Sort of, for like a whole fucking family.
What? What do you mean?
Well, I wasn't fucking the whole family.
Only a couple of them, am I right?
No, just one of them. But, you know, no, actually, my children's mother, I was definitely footing the bill for everything going on there.
I don't know if you can be a total sugar daddy for your baby mama.
No, but like I was just making a stupid joke, but no, I don't think so. I don't think I ever let myself get like that.
Hmm.
You know, I did to a certain extent, you know, but then, I mean, and even after like you realize it's going on, it's like, okay, but at a certain point you just go, okay.
No, like, really hot girls coming up to you knowing you're famous, knowing you've got money, and just clinging themselves and you being like, okay. Oh, no.
Sometimes.
And you don't ever go for it?
No. I don't put that, hey, come wrap your arms around me vibe out.
What about if it was their ponytail?
There are. I mean, I'm not Great saying question. That. I'm not saying somebody couldn't do it. Somebody couldn't, you know. But I sniff that type out right away. I don't think I'm like the type that there's a certain type that they're attracted to. They can just smell them, you know, and those are the ones they go for. They're the easy marks.
And that's not you?
That's not me.
I feel like they could smell you.
It's not just, it's really more about what's on Google or what their net worth is. That's what they do.
Or that
really?
Blue check mark.
Yeah, they write.
Ash, how do you know that?
Because I have so many friends that are high-end escorts, and they make a shit ton of money.
And yeah, they believe that? Google what the net worth is? Because it's not true.
They'll Google their name. They'll find out. They are very, like, they could be detectives, like, at least the ones I know. And they'll Google their name, and then next to it, they'll write salary or net worth. Which
and then they go to where that person's going to be and try to casually meet them?
No, they have a madam. They work with a company. And sometimes they'll do something where they'll target somebody like on a basketball team or something, and then they'll fly out there. But they have some way of setting up. I haven't figured out exactly how they do it when they don't have someone doing it for them. Like they don't have a matchmaker or something like that. But when I was with one of my friends, when she was doing it, she flew me out to she flew me out to Boston actually. She was seeing somebody on the Celtics, and
an escort for a Celtics player.
Well, no, she didn't actually tell me she was. Just I now know, but at the time it was that she just met him somehow, which I'm haven't figured out. And then he flew her out and bought her all this stuff. Within like a week, she had like $10,000 worth of things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the lady that wants to do that. It's just you're not going to do it on me.
Yeah.
That's all.
I can't tell whether I would rather be a sugar mama or have a sugar daddy. I go back and forth a lot because I feel like if you're a sugar mama, you're a boss ass bitch. Like, if you are handing out the dough to some guy and he's screwing you, he probably has a huge cock. I would have to guess, because if you're a sugar mama, he probably is hung, right?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody's coming to you for money, like, and he's cute. So that's just in my mind. But then if you have a sugar daddy, you could just fuck off, and all you have to do is have sex with him all day, and you get everything you want.
Yeah.
So I'm very torn here on which way I should have my life go.
The other thing is, if you have a sugar daddy, he's in control of you.
No, not necessarily. It's actually the other way around.
So I've seen money control a lot of women. So I would be, that's the my
money,
personal stuff.
Well,
but
the
money's
the incentive, which is the reason they're doing it.
But you're saying the vagina is a control.
The girl controls everything. Less. Yeah. Yeah, they're the ones who dictate everything, because they're it's all
based have
on
that pussy.
Yeah.
That's right. And because and if they won't give her the money, somebody else will for that.
Oh, interesting thing that I learned about Michael Klaus this week. Huh. No problem saying the word pussy.
Don't mind it.
Can't say the word fuck.
Won't say the C word. But AKA cunt.
I can't believe he won't say that.
He's okay with that.
Oh, wait, he will say the C word.
He'll say cunt. He'll say pussy.
He also just very romantically came up to me. I just cut myself before the show started, and he came up to me and goes, want me to kiss it? I was like, no, I don't think so, Michael.
Is it because I tried to pawn you off on him and tried to get him to have sex with you?
I think it was like really romantic and sweet, but like I felt like he wanted me a little bit.
I have to tell
you guys.
I
don't know, Michael. I'm just assuming it felt that way.
When we started the show today, escorts and Michael Klaus's sex life were not things I planned on talking about, but I'm really glad we took this turn. What I really wanted to talk about was, Sean, you had your 1 year anniversary of being an AfterBuzzer.
I did.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
So I feel like I was here for the beginning,
you
but
were.
I don't remember how it all happened. Like, how did you and Kevin and Maria come to be kismet and have it all work and you be with AfterBuzz?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I never knew Maria because I was like in Mexico and all off doing some my crazy wacky adventures when she was doing her WWE thing, right? So met her when she was inducting Bob Backlund and Mr. Bob Backlund in the Hall of Fame. Didn't meet Kevin then. A couple years later, met Kevin at WrestleMania, which would have been not this year's WrestleMania, but last year's. And he told me, you know, that he heard me and watched me on Sam and Jim, on Opie, all that.
But anytime that you ever talked about this, it seems like he just came up to you and you were like, all right, I'll talk to this guy, whoever he is. Was there any kind of introduction? Did you know this was Maria's significant other?
I didn't like know the face, but I knew who he was just because when I was with Scott Hall and we met Maria, she was talking about, you know, like the Bar Rescue show and how her and Kevin had AfterBuzz, which at the time I wasn't aware of exactly what AfterBuzz was.
Little did you know what it would be for your future.
Yeah. So anyways, fast forward to WrestleMania, where Kevin came up to me, you had to be somebody to be in there.
Got it.
So like you weren't just, yeah. Yes. It was all friends and family, that type of thing. And he just told, you know, you just know, like you can tell when, he believed in me, you know, and when people believe in me, rocks, and they inspire me, like, I'm like, okay, I'm in, I'm fucking in. Like, I'd already been envisioning in my mind, like before we met, I was going to be doing something like this.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think, or why did you think that?
Kevin wasn't the only one who told me I had a talent for it.
For talking?
Yeah, it's storytelling, that type of thing. Just really rough around the edges, you know? So that's what I wanted to do.
So did he pitch it to you, the show, or did you kind of say, wow, people have been telling me, and this is what I'm looking to do?
He threw all this. I didn't even really give him much feedback to what he was saying. I was just taking it all in and just nod my head. Yeah, yeah, hell yeah. And he told me some things. I'm going to introduce you to this person. I'm not going to name names or anything, but I'm going to introduce you to this person, that person. All these things happened.
It all came true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you thinking at the time, this guy is blowing smoke up my ass, or did you, could you see in his face that he was serious about all these action steps?
No, I could tell he was dead serious. My question was not knowing he or Maria was, and it wasn't like thinking about it negatively. I just wanted to know what was in it for Kevin.
You Have know? You been able to answer that question yet?
Well, he immediately told me, and it was a very good reason, and it's a reason that like I would do something for. And he said, you know, 10% karma. So
you asked him, and his answer was,
"Yeah, man." And so I bought, you know, okay, boom, you got me.
No follow ups to
no,
that.
No, none needed. Not for me.
Cut from the same cloth. You guys totally just understood each other.
Yeah.
And then, how long did it take for action steps to actually happen?
Well, he actually, not knowing, like, okay, I was going to actually come out here and do the show here. He just did all this for me, like, set me up with this company and, you know, a very big company. And, you know, I was just going to do it remotely, kind of like Jericho and Austin might do, you know, just wherever they are on the road, carry a portable podcaster or whatever the fuck you call it. I don't even know what you call it. And I've been doing it for a year.
Where were you living at the time?
Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, when my ex died, when China died, I came out here. And I had her, okay, I won't talk about the other business aspect of it.
No, go ahead, Sean.
No, I just don't, I don't think it's pertinent.
Okay.
You know, and it fucked the story up.
All right. Was there a correlation between her passing and you coming out here?
Yeah, for her funeral.
Oh, that you weren't saying moving out here. You
no,
just came to...
for a funeral. And, okay, I was going to be out here for X number of days. And so then I said, Kevin, I'm coming out. And while I'm out, let's meet. And let's meet up. And let's get the ball rolling. And everything just... Phew. That's when I came here the first time. I don't know if I met you the first time I came here or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was like the Kelly was here?
Yeah.
So.
So you, based on where you were then and where you are now, what do you feel like are the biggest differences?
Oh, wow. It depends on what you're like and what aspect of my life.
And who you are as a person and also your career.
Yeah. Well, so I'm transitioning, you know, into doing this.
Can't use that term anymore, Sean. People get confused by that.
Whatever.
The transitioning
term. They can take it however the fuck they want.
Very true.
So, you know, that's still going on, you know, the transition. I'm still going out there and getting beat up. But we're trying to cut that down, you know, as much as possible.
You're talking about wrestling?
Yeah, doing the wrestling thing. But I still love it, Rox. But, I mean, my body doesn't. That's the thing. So from the first show I did a year ago, I had my friend Scott Hall on, which was a safe bet, you know, so I knew I had a ton of things to talk to him about. But I won't even go back and watch it, Roxy.
I guarantee you it's better than you think it is.
Maybe, to everyone else. But that doesn't mean I'm going to think so, no matter what.
It's surprising to me that you were nervous for that because you're a performer.
That's right.
That's what you've been doing your whole life.
Yeah, but okay, this is a different thing. I mean, even though like I've, you know, and here's the thing, Rox, in wrestling, I wasn't considered like the guy that rocked the mic and like had all the, you know, I had the, hey, go, you know, got two words for you, suck it, but. That's easy Pavlovian response shit. But, you know, like, I wasn't considered the talker in wrestling. So, and I've always been afraid of public speaking or just anything. I'm anything like performing in public. Scared to death of that, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. One of the things I'm really scared of with heights.
Has doing the podcast made you want to do more of the speaking in the ring?
Not really. No.
How come?
What I'm doing in the ring, if I'm going to if I'm going to continue my career and, like, okay, reinvent myself, yes, okay, that's fine. But I'm doing the nostalgia thing right now. So, like, I'm not even thinking about it as far as in like, in that aspect of, you know, of things. It's just, I progressively, along with the great team that Kevin, you know, put around me, Christy Olson.
Yeah.
Who, she's coming tomorrow. She's coming to town tomorrow. And
really?
She's going to come by. And
do you guys keep in touch?
Here and there, yeah. She's going to come by and we're going to go see a wrestling show tomorrow.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, she must amazing. Be so appreciative of you and everything.
Oh yeah, she's really grateful of every, not just me, but you know,
and AfterBuzz,
and Lillian. You know, Lillian helped her a lot too.
Right. Garcia.
Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't have really been able to hide all my weaknesses without them. They're quite the set of smoke and mirrors for me. You know.
You wouldn't have been able to.
There are certain things maybe I'm not up to speed on. You know, I've got Jimbo and I had Christy, and now that, you know, I've got a couple other people involved, TK from TMZ, who's coming along nicely. She's getting up to speed.
Learning.
Finding her, you know.
Like Sansa, maybe a slow learner.
Well, just finding
learn.
Where she, yes. Finding where she fits in, you know.
So how do you feel like then AfterBuzz has helped with this transition of you feeling more confident on the mic?
Wow. I think a lot of it has to do with just the experience of, okay, coming here, being able to do this show.
Shout out to the Tomorrow Show.
Yes. And I got to, who gets to co-host a show or do a show with Maria Menounos every morning?
Very true.
Come on.
So you were doing that for quite some time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, months.
Combination.
6 months. Something like 6 months, maybe more.
Produced by Lauren LaGrasso,
right.
Our very own. So you think that a combination of the Tomorrow Show, of AfterBuzz, and doing Maria's show, I would imagine that has completely changed your broadcasting.
Absolutely. Yes. And so I had Steve Austin on my show yesterday, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I don't like to ask people like my, I don't like to ask anybody for anything. So it's very difficult for me to go, hey, will you take, you know, a couple hours at least out of your day to, you know, come on my show on your day off or whatever. And that's, you know, they don't mind doing it at all. It's just my hang up about asking people.
I know
shit.
How you feel.
But still, like,
Kevin gets that same way too.
Yeah. So I don't even like to ask them to come in studio, you know, because, you know, L.A. traffic on top of everything. And so when I asked Steve to come on the show, first he gave me shit when I was on his show about a month ago because I hadn't invited him on yet. And I just wanted to get good, you know, because I didn't feel like I was good when I started. So a year later, I felt like I was good enough. Maybe I still have a ways to go, though.
It's only been 1 year. They say 10,000 hours to be an expert or something.
So he actually got in the car and actually drove to the studio. I was just expecting him to Skype or call in. You know, I didn't want to. He's like, no, you came to my house, did my show, coming to yours. He had a great time. Amazing time. He loved it.
He's come on AfterBuzz a couple of times before, actually. He's a rock star of a guy. I heard that everybody who was there was super starstruck and just like couldn't believe how friendly and kind he was.
Amazing. And you know, he said to me, man, at the end, he said, you've gotten really good at this. And I don't blow smoke up people's ass. I don't say shit that's not true. And that was huge for me.
That must have really hit you at your core.
Yeah, it was great because truthfully, besides Kevin, nobody has helped me or been more supportive behind the scenes or, you know, in public than Steve. His advice, you know, just some really, really good, simple advice, but really, like, important good advice.
What is it about Steve that makes you value his opinion and his advice so much? Is it just the place that he holds in the wrestling community or where your relationship?
No, those things that I value are the reason why holds that place in the wrestling community, you know. Just always been like the straight shooter, you know. Some people might think he's standoffish, but like he's not. He's really not at all. I don't know how to answer your question.
Just the way you just did.
Yeah.
You did it.
It just like, the guys, you know, and look what he does. Look what he does for people. He likes to help people.
And so do you.
I
and
do.
So do Kevin and Maria, like-minded yeah. people all together.
Yeah.
What is next for your AfterBuzz journey and for your show?
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of going week by week right now.
When you started it, did you picture it lasting for a year?
I did. Oh, yeah. Come
really?
On. Yeah.
You knew?
Yeah.
But as somebody who didn't know if this was something that was for him or...
No, I knew it was for me.
I just didn't
know how long it was going to take me to catch on. You know what I mean?
Who's been the best guest, or not the best, but one of your favorite guests to have on the show, or your favorite episodes?
Oh, wow.
I know, it's like
Holy
Sophie's
shit.
Choice. I'm so sorry.
For different reasons, like, okay, Jesse the Body Ventura, when he was promoting his book, Marijuana Manifesto, that was great, because we veered off of wrestling, you know, and my listeners... more or less want me to stick to wrestling, but you know, here and there, something like that. It was really cool. Talk to Jesse and RVD, Rob Van Dam. I might not know who that is, but I had.
If I was Kevin, I definitely would.
One of the ones I'm most proud of would be Darren Young, who was the first openly gay wrestler in WWE, and I'm extremely proud of that because it's. Also, not just a bullshit wrestling interview. It's about some real, like, shit.
So definitely people need to check out those episodes.
Yeah.
Moving forward, who would be your dream of dream guests to book? I'm sure you're friends with all these people, but who are you looking to get on the show?
You know, I have my friends, and like, I haven't even asked yet. Like, I've got my friend Kevin Nash.
Isn't he one of your best friends?
Yeah, only Scott Hall has come on. I haven't asked any of the rest of them. Kevin Nash, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, any of them.
You haven't asked because you're nervous?
I just don't. It's just, okay, if I pull that like card out, I want to make sure it's for real good, you know.
Do you mean asking a favor is the card?
I just, okay, once you play your friend guest card, the card is gone. They no longer have to go, oh, yeah, I'd love to, because they already did you the solid.
I don't think, Sean, people look at it that way. I think
I know
you,
they don't.
If you asked Stone Cold to come on again in a week, I'm sure he would jump at it again.
I don't think he'd get in the car, though.
Maybe not, but definitely in a couple of months, for sure. It's not like you don't, with friends, you don't get a card. You have an unlimited amount of cards, and you can keep pulling them as long as you're also, they're pulling them on you, and you're taking the cards and changing cards.
Yeah, right. One hand washes
but
the
other.
But
here's the thing. When it comes to people I know don't like doing that type of thing, they're the ones I don't want to ask. You know what I mean?
Who doesn't like doing that kind of thing?
Scott. And he was my first guest, but he did it for me anyway.
How come he doesn't like
it? Just don't like it. Because, you know, most of them are just the basic, like, fucking cookie cutter. You know, go through the biography on off your fucking Wikipedia and ask you about the same old, like, you know, his past, all his demons and all the fucking scandals and all those stories everyone wants to hear, but he's talked about a million times.
Do any of the wrestlers get nervous doing interviews because you have the curtain pulled back and part of the whole facade is putting on this character? And so they're nervous that if they let a different persona out there, it might affect their actual performances.
And a few years back, it still did.
Really?
Yeah. And there are some guys you won't see Undertaker sitting in this booth fucking just having a casual conversation.
Right, but is it because he's still
he just likes to keep that mystique. You know.
So people who have wrestlers who have retired from doing it, do you feel like they still have that sense of, let me protect this image I once had, or this image that, this
some.
Facade, as Roxy said?
Yeah, some.
Okay.
Some do. Some do to the point where it gets kind of silly. Like, well, I mean, silly to some people will laugh at. Like, there's some old timers, like, I'm not going to mention his name, but one old timer in particular, when we go up to a certain part of the country up north, Northeast, he was a legend, okay? A legendary masked wrestler. But nobody knows who the fuck he is from Adam now. And I'm talking about half the boys, half the wrestlers, which is sad, which is a sad, like, commentary on, like, the state of wrestling when they don't know the history of wrestling. But so this guy would show up to the arena with his mask on still, and, like, you know, some people would laugh at him, you know. It was kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it ever happen to you, Sean, where you did an interview or you talked too candidly and it messed up the mystique of your character at all?
No. My, when I talk candidly, it reinforces. Yeah.
Who you are. Well,
yeah, at least it used to.
That's a pretty cool place to be.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. So any other hints of your show moving forward? Anything else? And also tell them exactly where they can find it so everybody can congratulate you on your 1 year and make sure they're tuning in.
It's at, on after like the AfterBuzz TV on their YouTube page.
Yeah.
And it's on iTunes and Podbay. I'm just throwing out random like things like besides iTunes. Yeah.
I hear now we're supposed to call
Stitcher.
Them Apple Podcast is the new... Is the new way that they have branded themselves. Yeah, it's a new scam.
Yeah.
They don't even know it's a scam, bonjour. Maybe we should tell them when next time we have a meeting with Apple. Did you know that you're scamming everybody? It's a good thing.
So, I mean, but like, that's just like all the things that, you know, that have changed about me, you know, professionally and all that. But like on a personal level, I'm, you know, being around Kevin and Maria, you can't help but be a better person. So, you know what I mean? Of course you do.
I certainly do.
So I'm around just the best people in the world right now, like all of you, you know? Not just trying to sound...
I know what you mean.
But I would ask you, because I think it affects everybody differently. You become a better person in different kind of ways. What do you feel like has changed about who you are most? Is it a personality thing? Is it a career thing? Is it... I could name other things.
Well, here's how I look at it. When you're your best you like that, then you're able to be a lot better to others. And so like I can have a better relationship with my kids now. Just everything, a better relationship and, you know, to my better friend, to my friends, you know, better son to my mom, even though, you know, what, you know, better brother to my sister, all that shit, you know?
Yeah, all.
So, and I wasn't being good to myself because I didn't like myself.
Speaking of relationships, Sean, now that you are liking yourself more, loving yourself more, are on more solid ground, are we still in that celibate life? Are we still not looking to find anybody?
We still are.
I like that I've included myself in this journey. How long do you think that's going to last?
I don't know. I'm just fine with however long it lasts.
But do you think you're going to wake up one day and just be like, God, I got to get laid?
Yeah, if it happens, then I'll go get laid. It's not
it's
a vow.
Not
of,
hard for him,
it's
ladies.
Not a fucking
That's a
great vow.
Attitude.
It's not a vow. Just like if I'm going to go have a drink, I'll go have a drink.
So that hasn't happened to you yet? As of this point, you have not woken up and been like, got to get the D wet.
Not even once.
Michael's a virgin and it even happens to him sometimes
because he hasn't had it yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you miss female companionship in that kind of way or no?
I have my female companionship right here
for you iTunes listeners or Apple Podcast listeners. He's talking about Lula.
Yeah, are you
little
kidding
doggy.
Me?
Okay, kind of, Sean. I mean, yes, you do, and Lula's amazing, but you haven't thought about it at all, like trying to date anybody or?
No, it's not. It wouldn't be okay, here's the thing. It would have to be extremely casual, and then I wouldn't really feel too good about, like, I know this sounds so fucking corny. I wouldn't, because I used to do quite a bit of casual
sex.
Fucking, yeah.
Yeah, fucking, okay. I was like, what word is coming out next? Yeah.
Yeah, but...
So you just feel bad for the women if you weren't into it?
I wouldn't be into it. I wouldn't want to do it. I get attached. That's another thing, mm-hmm. is I'm being careful. I'm being cautious for my... I'm protecting myself, Rox, too.
Wow.
You know, and it hurts both people, you know? Because things get really heavy, and then, like, they don't
Well, when you're a deep feeler, I do think that's true. And you're such a sensitive person.
Yeah.
Even though, even if you do go into it, like, I'm just going to stay physical. Have you found that it's hard to do?
It's impossible for me.
But do you think it's possible for other people?
Sure.
Because I feel as if what you just said is not giving females the benefit of the doubt enough. Some women just like to fuck.
But I don't like to fuck anymore.
Okay.
I get feelings and all that fucking shit.
For the worst.
For anyone, you, Michael, what the hell are you talking about? You haven't slept with somebody.
And I mean, if they're not fucking, if they're not prone to me having feelings for them, I'm not going to be in bed with them. They're not going to make it that far. Because that chemical reaction's not happening, Rocks.
Speaking of weird chemical reactions in relationships, Lauren, how was your second therapy session? Last show, we talked a little bit about Lauren's ball in the middle of a therapy room as she was screaming and throwing things for therapy session number one. What was it?
It's a tennis racket.
Yeah, it's a tennis racket on a cube.
And that's what I meant, of course.
Of course. I did more of that today.
But for anybody who didn't hear last week's show, what are you doing with the tennis racket again?
So there's this great therapy called Core Energetics. And basically they take a cube, put it in the middle. It's a foam cube. Put it in the middle of the room. You put on a pair of gloves, take a tennis racket, arch your back. And then for me personally, I'm working on boundaries. So I would take it. Push it down on the foam cube, the tennis racket, down on the foam cube and say no while looking my therapist in the eye. So that's what the first session was like.
Do you kind of feel sexy when you do it sometimes? Like,
no, I feel I'm not comfortable with being angry.
Oh.
So it's
that's a sexy feeling for me, so I understand
No, I mean, like, I would love to get to a place where it felt sexy. But it's horrifying for me, actually.
A release.
Yeah. It's a release, but at first I feel so stupid doing it. But then it releases and then I start crying. So
you did it again this time, you started crying.
Yeah, like I cried the whole session. It was exhausting but also amazing. And I highly recommend to any of our listeners to check this out, Core Energetics, because you get through one session and it's like 6 months of regular therapy. But today there was a really interesting revelation. And it's interesting talking about relationships because I haven't shared this with the audience, but I've been in a relationship for 4.5 years. I've been going back and forth about it. And as you can probably imagine, it's deeply conflicting because at this point the person is your family. But I've had a strong feeling that maybe it's not meant to be. And this, I've shared this with him, so it's not like I'm like going out of the relationship and breaking boundaries here. But that's one of the things I'm working through. And I had this realization today that part of the reason why I've been having trouble making a decision and potentially the one I'm leading toward, which is that I should get out of it, is because not all the people, but some of the people who want me to get out of the relationship, I don't want to give the satisfaction of making them think that they own me and that they're the ones that get to make that choice for me in my life.
So there are people in your life who for X amount of time have been telling you that this is a relationship you should get out of.
Yes.
Because they don't find it to be healthy, or for what reason are they saying it?
These people, like I said, there are people that think I should get out of it because I know they really have my best interests at heart. There are people who have, like, from the beginning of when I started dating this person, wanted me not to be in it. And because of that group of people who I feel like just want to control me, I think that that has been the blocker in getting out of it.
So it's usually you want to do something because people are telling you to, but you're the opposite. You don't want to do it because people are telling you that and you don't want
to. Because I came to the realization today, I think as many people do, that I've been making decisions out of other people's desires for me. And so this is my time in my life to start listening to my own voice and reigniting my gut that I've been pushing down for years.
Does it extend to decisions past your relationship?
Oh, yeah. Everything. I mean, we just keep replicating the same patterns over and over and over again with different people.
Would you call that being, and by the way, I think I'm totally in the same camp.
Totally fine.
Being a little stubborn.
Maybe being stubborn, but also, like, there's so many deep-seated things here if you really dig deep.
Are you talking about reenacting?
Yeah, well, like reenacting old patterns and belief systems. Like, you know, it's I just keep finding people that reinforce those same ideas. So it's being stubborn because, like, I do want my own voice, but then not taking the action to have my own voice and like listening to those people anyway. I know that's kind of
complicated. No, makes sense. We tend to be drawn to people in our life that are the same people over and over again, just different people, but with the same exact. If you look at your friends
like same,
over the years,
same person,
same
different
personalities.
Name.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we and they say we pick our parents, and it's interesting because a lot of the times the people we surround ourselves with have some correlation or they remind us in some way of our upbringing, whether that's our parents or whatever environment we were in.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of look closely at that and you'll see there are patterns that we don't change because we're just so we're so used to them.
Mm-hmm. How does he feel when you are so open? Because I feel like most people are very closed about how they're feeling, and then all of a sudden like it hits someone like a shit ton of bricks and you leave. So you've discussed this with him.
Yeah.
How does that conversation go?
I mean, it's heartbreaking because to be the person who is questioning things when the other person is solid, like he thinks that I'm the one he wants to marry me. That's a terrible feeling. Like I've actually only broken up with one person in my life. Everyone else broke up with me and that was much easier. Like to be the one that you know you're in control is a very – it's a horrifying feeling because you've got someone's heart in your hands. But then again, like I'm not – I loved him so much when we started, and then he made certain choices that have led me to feel this way, so he gets it.
Are you glad you have been this honest with him, and would you advise people out there who are struggling in relationships and are feeling this way where they don't know whether they should stay or leave to talk to their partner about it, or do you think that that's made the decision more challenging for you because he has said to you, well, I don't feel that way, and I want to be with you?
Yes, it's more challenging, but I think it's worse to decide things in secret. You know, if you want to have an open, honest relationship, you have to be vulnerable. And so even if it's not pleasant, you do have to have those conversations. Yes, it has made it harder, but I still would have been feeling these things either way. And then I would have felt like I was lying.
Hey, Lauren, did he make amends for like the choice, like whatever he did that changed things for you? Or and if he did you just can't get that feeling back? What's the deal?
He's made amends, but he keeps...
Sorry, Sean, are you under the impression that one event took place and that's why...
I'm getting the impression, like, I mean, just reading between lines, I'm not making an assumption of what it is, but I'm sure there was a couple of things that, choices that were made mm-hmm. that hurt you.
Yeah, so this is so funny. Yeah, Dr. Jen, I interviewed her, and she has this theory for anybody who is in a relationship and, like, trying to decide if... patterns that are unhealthy are ever going to go away. So she talks about making amends. It's not just apologizing. He's always apologized.
No, amend means change.
Exactly. So he's apologized. He said he won't do it again. He's acknowledged that I felt bad. But there's never been the fourth thing, which is to say how you're not going to do it again.
Right.
That's never been done. And because of that, that's why I don't feel safe.
Have you said that to him, that part of it?
Mm-hmm.
And he still won't talk about how moving forward it will change?
He has to be the one that wants to do it. Yeah, so he hasn't, no. I mean, he says how it will change, but I don't buy it. But anyway, that's neither here nor
right.
there. Like, I know all those things. I'm a logical person. I get that it doesn't look like a great situation. But the idea that I'm making this decision, not because of what I truly want, it's because there's other people who want it for me who I don't trust.
Sure. In a sense, do you think that you're letting them control you by not doing it because that's what they would want? If that makes sense?
I think that if
totally, Michael.
If I break up with him, I'm letting them control me. Like, that's what I had in my head until I did the tennis racket thing.
But he's saying the opposite of that. If you don't break up with him, you're doing it because of the fact that you think they want you to. So is that them controlling you in a weird, twisted kind of way?
Probably.
I think the whole theme of it is that you do, and I do this as well, so please, I understand, that you take into consideration what other people say
too
more
much.
Than what you want.
Exactly, Ashley.
Because you don't trust yourself.
Because I don't trust myself.
And I understand that, and I think it all goes back to, and I same thing with me, but I think with our certain things in our life, I don't want to go into mm-hmm. details, but certain things in our life I think are patterns that create a person that ends up being unsure of themselves.
You know what's really, really challenging, and I think that you guys can probably relate to this, is that when you're in a relationship that is a serious relationship and you're young, when anything happens, the first thing you want to do is talk to your friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
But then the problem is, whatever your significant other did, you tell your friends and family, and then eventually you move on.
Yeah.
But they don't. and they're so hung up on it that it makes you stay hung up on it because, and I don't know if this is what's happening with you at all, but sometimes for me, I will tell them something and then I'll regret telling them because then they hate the guy I'm with or they talk a lot of shit or they always remind me. And I'm like, listen, now I'm more confused because I felt like I was over something, but you guys keep dragging me back. And it makes it very challenging to be in a relationship that's two people when everybody is involved.
You're very good at that, Roxy. You're good at being very neutral in situations and not getting too attached to something that happens. What I mean is if I will say something to you about my situation with my boyfriend, you'll be very neutral. You're never one-sided. But I think that must be because of what you just said because you understand what it feels like to be in that situation. But I think with people in general, it's really hard not to put your two cents in. When someone tells you something, it's really hard to just do the Roxy and just be neutral. You just want to say, I'm guilty of saying some disgustingly mean, horrible things about my friend's significant others, and then I gotta see them a week later, and I'm like, shit. Hey.
Here's how I look at that, too. It's like, okay, when I hear that kind of bitching, like, that's just one side of the fucking story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's usually when you're hearing it, that person's pretty upset or, you know, not happy about it. And so it's a little bit, it's going to be slanted.
Yeah, definitely. I just think, I feel for you, Lauren, because I feel like emotions can get jumbled when people are telling you what to do. Either way, whether you're not doing it because you're listening to them or you do it because you listen to them.
Right.
It's the fact that you told them the story in the first place that becomes confusing. And you're human, so telling them the story is not something I would advise against.
Right.
It messes things up.
It's like your subconscious does it on purpose because you're doing everything you can to avoid knowing what you really want.
Yeah.
And I think the takeaway from this whole thing is, and for anyone listening, is like really tune into yourself. Trust your gut. Before you run to somebody else, if you're feeling a certain way, there's a reason why you're feeling it. And you don't need to go to someone else to validate that feeling. Just turn inward and ask what's going on. I asked too many other people about my life, and therefore I felt like I was being controlled. But that was also my own doing.
Right.
So you have to turn it inward. And,
at least first.
Yeah.
And sit on things for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're really confused, go to someone you trust like you who will be fair and look at both sides, you know? Like anytime I've come to you or Ashley with asking for
advice. I'm definitely not fair.
You never said – well, you actually have been with me, which is crazy.
Oh, okay.
But you won't just say, no, they're terrible. You don't condemn people. You give both sides.
Kevin does a great job of that.
Kevin really does.
He does.
I remember very quickly when you guys know, you guys lived through it with me if you've been watching the show long enough, but when Ben and I broke up.
Ben's your boyfriend, Frank. Ben doesn't know.
I figured that was clear with the broke up part, but he's still currently
Still currently your boyfriend, I mean.
And Kevin was the only one who said to me that it would be okay if we got back together.
I know.
And it's very hard just in general for anybody to get back with somebody or to break up with somebody when you've got people in your ear. So Lauren, I really like that advice to tune into yourself first. And if you need to look to outside sources, definitely go to somebody who's either in a relationship you respect or is fair or one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a lot of nods from Sean over here.
Yeah, I do agree with it's okay to get back together. The problem that I had was it was get back together, break up, get back together, break up, get back together. It was like every week. It was so ridiculous.
You're talking about in your own situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and then sometimes the old things aren't solved. Like there's not that idea of what you're going to do to stop the pattern, right? Ben gave you exactly what he was going to do to stop the pattern and he's never done it again. And anytime you've even felt a tinge of like, what are you doing? He's confirmed with you, hey, you're okay, honey.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's the difference between somebody who replicates bad patterns and someone who makes a mistake once and then makes amends.
So I wonder what our advice would be to anybody on the opposite side of this, somebody who is not in the doghouse, but somebody who has made a mistake and wants to get back in somebody's good graces. I guess it would be to figure out what your actual action steps are and what your plan, what your solution is, and then to relay that message. And to stand by that message, most importantly, whatever it is that you're doing.
That's the number one thing. Absolutely.
Buy him a big fat diamond.
And that.
Yeah.
And diamonds help.
Definitely diamonds.
I will say, just before we end, I know we're going to go to other things, but with me, I'm very open about it, and I've been very honest on the show, so I'll just keep doing that. I have anger issues. When I feel like I'm being wronged, I've always had this issue where I just lose myself, and I get very Sicilian. Yeah, I get very like I want to throw something, or I want to like I get really heated, and if someone's wronging someone I love, it even goes to an extreme level, even worse. But when it's for me, it's still out of control at times for me, and I've been feeling like that for a while. And my partner is not like that at all. He doesn't get angry by any means. He's very fair. And I'm the one who's like swearing and like fuck you, fuck this shit. And then I look like the crazy person. And I don't know if I should say who said it, but someone gave me great advice saying, like, why would you end up putting yourself in that position? Why do you want to be that person? That's not who you are. So you need to take some steps backward next time and really think before you talk and really think before you act out on that, because the consequences are huge. So I guess for anybody, it's also just, like you were saying, just keep in mind when you're on the opposite side, when you're the person in the doghouse, not that I'm in the doghouse, but keep in mind that you need to stay in your own head and you need to take a deep breath before you say or do anything, because the more times that you say you will change yourself and then the less times that you do change yourself, there's no chance left.
Oh, tell me about it.
You know?
Holy shit. Like promises and I'm sorry's and all that have like, they lost every bit of fucking like equity they had with my kids a long time ago.
Every time you do
it. It starts to come back. Eventually you gain that back. But
it's what they say about time, that time heals wounds or time solves things. It's true that the only solvent really is that if you've broken too many promises, you got to be patient and you've got to know that with time you can prove yourself. But nobody proves themselves overnight.
Right.
And Sean, you're somebody who is now very true to your word. And
I just don't make promises. You know, there's something I talked to Ida about, and she's the hypnotherapist extraordinaire. Yeah, she's amazing. And she just said, just don't make promises. Like, you know, don't overpromise. If you don't know for sure you can do it, don't just.
Always better to underpromise, overdeliver. Yeah.
Right.
For sure. I got that from Kevin, too. Isn't it so funny as I talk all of the things I realize I got from Kevin? Like in my life, all the time, I'll say something and I'll be like, got that from Kevin.
I know, right?
Yeah, all the time.
And they, you know, when they have a neat little slogan like that, it makes it so much easier to remember.
Yeah, yes.
It's like an AA slogan.
Exactly. speaking of things I got from Kevin, news is a good thing to talk about on this show.
It is.
So, Michael Klaus, what do we got this week in news?
Well, we got a bunch of stuff going on. I want to talk about the story that you were telling me about, which is a sad story. Obviously, we're dealing with a huge heat wave here in Los Angeles, and a sad story about a dog that was left outside in South Los Angeles and passed away.
Yeah, it was so hot and they were attached to a pole. Their owner put them on the pole and forgot. And animal services were called and the dog was dead by the time they got there. And I couldn't, what was so unbelievable is that when I read this, I was so devastated. And then I said something to Michael and Michael said, yeah, I used to report on this all the time. I can't believe this is something that happens.
I just pray that they have no pain, that they just go quickly. I can't. I pray that it's not a torturous.
I'm just gonna be honest with you, Ash. That's not the case.
Dying by that kind of thing. That's not like a old age.
God,
in
but
your
God
sleep.
Can't allow that. There's no way. Like he has to. Yeah, it has to do something. Like that's not
terrible things assume. Happen. It's terrible. It's just plain terrible.
Yeah, but when it's a helpless dog like that.
I had a dog pass like that. It wasn't. It was my children's mother. We had some pugs. You know how their faces are mashed in. And
yeah.
Fucking. So I get disgusted when I talk about this. She didn't want the carpet. She didn't want the carpet fucked up in the new house, and she put them out in the kennel outside in the fucking heat. And one of them died. Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you do at that point?
She felt fucking off. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
she felt awful.
But she fucking damn well should have.
Yeah.
You know, to this day, she should.
Of course.
Well,
Michael was also telling me that a lot of people leave them in their hot cars. Yeah. That's another way.
And it's amazing too. Like, and I did this in one of my stories was if you actually like sit in a hot car, and I did it for 5 minutes, which is nothing. I mean, literally, if you're running into a grocery store or something like that, you're gone for way longer than 5 minutes. But I did it, and the temperature rises like 20 to 30 degrees. And if it's already 100 degrees outside, that means it's like 125 or 130 degrees in that car. It's unreal. And you think, oh, well, the windows are cracked. It doesn't really do anything.
No, it doesn't.
I've heard this happen with babies, too, like actual children and with dogs. What do you even say to somebody that does something like this? Like,
I actually called the cops about a year ago when I saw a baby, like toddler in the car, and I saw the mother get out and leave the baby, and I immediately called the cops, and the cops came.
That's what you do.
And she was reprimanded heavily.
It's the only thing we can do as citizens, as pedestrians, as whatever you are. If you see the dog like the person did, you call. You call somebody, and you don't be the – I know, Kevin, we joked a lot on this show about being a bystander and not being the bully. But being bystander is worse than being a bully. But seriously, in this situation, if you are the bystander, if you walk by a baby or a child or a dog or a cat, whatever, in a vehicle in this kind of heat, you have to call.
And now, as of January, it is legal to actually break the window of the car.
Oh, good.
And a lot of states have adopted that recently. California just adopted it in January, that if you walk by and you see an animal that is in distress, whether it's a dog, cat, or whatever, you are legally allowed to break the window of the car.
I think I'll break more than one window while I'm at it, Michael.
Yeah.
Maybe fucking all of them.
I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. I wonder what the definition of distress in that is.
They said that's why you really have to proceed at your own risk, because you would imagine that the owner is not going to be too pleased about coming out to a broken window.
Yeah, well, guess what? Not too pleased about that dumb fuck leaving their animal or their baby in the car.
Right.
So we'll talk about it when they get out there.
All too many cases where you hear things like that, even where parents leave their babies on the top of the roof of the car. Like,
what?
They'll
Drive down the road with the roof, baby in the roof.
You put your coffee on top of the car before you get in. You put your baby on there. You get in the car. You start driving.
Yep.
I've never seen that.
It wasn't the top. It was the where the trunk is.
I understand that more than leaving the baby in the car.
Yeah, I mean, that is obviously an honest mistake, which is fucked up.
I know people that have done it.
Oh, my gosh. What happened?
Well, I don't know. I've met.
Is the baby okay?
Yeah.
See, there it is. There's a picture. You guys can see.
Like, here's the thing. I try not to be too harsh on this situation because, like, that's me as a parent.
And God tired, forbid. God like forbid. Forgetful.
Yeah, that's me, like, doing 60 things on the phone, whatever. You put the baby. You get in the car. You drive.
Where's my baby?
Yeah.
It's on top of my car.
This is why I'm not ready. This is why I'm not a mom at this point, because I'm clearly not fucking ready. But, like, that I do understand. The leaving the kid in the hot car. That's like
selfish fuck.
That's usually you know your kids in the car.
Yeah. They always are. When you see any news where they're showing a mother that did that, they always look pissed. Like, I did nothing wrong. I'm busy.
I was just about to come outside.
Yeah, like it's always some asshole.
But what are you
doing
that you can't bring your child with you? Are you in a porn place or are you?
No, it's ridiculous.
Why can't you bring your kid?
Because they don't want to take the five extra
seconds. Nothing wrong with bringing your baby into a porn place.
I'd rather have my baby in a porn place than dying in the hot car.
So I feel like there's got to be a word for a porn place.
Porn theater?
XXX video store?
No.
That's one.
I thought you meant like literally filming, like a warehouse.
Oh, yeah. Well, I bet you they have like a playpen there. It's like a hazard of the industry, right? Babies.
All right, Michael, well, what else we got?
From one LA story to another, and this is one that is just the city of Los Angeles, but is something that is being talked about across the country, is actually in Los Angeles, they just voted to change Christopher Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. Now, this is something that a lot of people have been up in arms about because they say Christopher Columbus came here, killed a bunch of people in order to actually take over the land, and really destroyed a lot of people's lives, and that we shouldn't be honoring him. Now, it was interesting that a lot of people who were Native Americans were arguing that they wanted it switched. I also read that a lot of people who were Italian...
They wanted what switched?
They wanted the holiday switched, like the same day, but Christopher Columbus Day becomes Indigenous People Day. Instead, a lot of Italians have actually been like, can we have both days? Because they see Christopher Columbus as one of them, and they don't want to totally ruin their heritage. What are your thoughts on that, Rox?
I think... Oh.
Go ahead, Sean. Go ahead.
He didn't ask me.
I'm asking you. Go ahead, Sean. We have the same birthday. We're the same person.
I know, right?
Not the same North Node, though.
I mean, I think there's plenty of other great Italians that they can, the Italian folks can look to, besides Christopher Columbus, who I agree was not a very good human being.
Sean, there have been billions of Italian people in life.
Yes.
I think it's horrifying. As an Italian person, as a 100% Italian person, I'm literally horrified that another Italian is fighting for this. We should be down on our knees begging the Native Americans for forgiveness for all the terrible, inhumane things we've done to them. It is disgusting that we have a day honoring a person who started the charge to kill them.
You take that tennis racket, Lauren.
I will.
Bang that shit.
What Lauren said.
Yeah.
I second that.
Here's the thing. Would this have been my cause? Is this something that I necessarily would have thought of or brought up? No, but like, what kind of a jackass do you have to be like, can we just do both? Would that satisfy you guys?
Okay,
what?
This is a legit question, because this is something that I talked with Lauren about before the show, and I said it's especially pertinent now because I feel like in history either like makes people seem better than what they were or worse than what they were. What would we say, Christopher? Are we saying, and I'm not defending Christopher Columbus, please don't take this as a, but is history seeing Christopher Columbus worse than what he really was, do you think?
I don't know how
he's getting appropriate blame.
I don't know how you guys grow up, but I grew up reading textbook that Christopher Columbus was a god.
A god, who we should look up to and who was a great human being and
wonderful,
fucking all this
he's
shit.
He's the reason we're here. Welcome to America. We love you, Christopher Columbus.
So maybe it's both sides of the coin then.
No,
I really think he's a worse person.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think he did something horrible, and we have idolized him for way too long. And I think that it's outrageous that somebody would ask to have both. Like, if you're going to be that jackass, if you're a Nazi, if you're a Christopher Columbus supporter, if you're a whatever, like, kind of jackass you are in this situation, then be full-blown heel, like Kevin says, and then say, no, we don't want to give you your day. We just want Columbus Day. But you can't be like, you can't pussyfoot around it and be like, yeah, why don't we just have both days? That's a good solution. Like, be a heel then. Root for Christopher Columbus. That's like, do that.
I say fuck Christopher Columbus. Seriously, like, I mean, we need to get rid of that. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, in L.A., we have gotten rid of it. Well, let's go.
Okay. I didn't mean. Sorry, it made me think. I don't really have a problem with that being something that local governments and that
a say in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of millennials are looking at it and being like, wait, but do we still get the long weekend?
Yeah.
You do. Indigenous people.
Did you guys see they beheaded the Christopher Columbus statue in Yonkers, New York?
No. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yep. Beheaded him.
And are they keeping up the statue just with no head?
As of right now, it's still there with no head, yeah.
Good.
Kind of wild.
Well, from one legend to another, maybe that's a bad transition.
Work on our
we'll see.
Here,
Ric Flair doing a lot better. Apparently, his family says that it is basically a miracle, and he's making a very strong recovery. They said that they actually hope that he will start physical therapy this coming weekend. Which, you know, we've talked about this in the past. He was rushed to the hospital. They're saying he had multiple organ failures, was having heart issues, and there was, I think, at one point, maybe a 20% chance of survival. So this is, you know, amazing news to hear that he actually could be starting physical therapy, making a recovery. Sean, have you heard anything else from people that you're talking with, or what are your thoughts on him making this recovery and using one of his nine lives?
You didn't find our TMZ article?
I literally heard Sean before the show say to you guys, I have this awesome TMZ article.
Yeah, that came out today where Steve Austin talked about talking to Ric Flair on the phone.
This was on your show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. Do you want me to?
Yeah, Ash.
So Ric Flair's doing so well in his recovery. He's now taking phone calls from his famous wrestler friends, including Stone Cold Steve Austin, who says the two had a great conversation earlier this week, saying, "All I could say is that I had a great conversation for about 5 minutes, and we were both laughing." And he said this on Sean Waltman's X-Pac 12360 on AfterBuzz TV.
Woo, 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 woo.
What Ashley just said, Steve said.
Yeah.
That's that's exactly what he said.
Yeah, Steve says that Flair's still got a ways to go after undergoing major surgery for multiple organ issues, but the fact that he's got his personality back is a huge deal.
That is a big deal. And I really like now that when we talked about Rick initially, I didn't really know, and people were speculating, and it wasn't really wasn't the right time to do it, but fuck it. We don't know that much. Dick, and it's really Rick's story, and this family story to let out. So we're just kind of going day by day and just taking whatever they want to tell us, you know? And we're just so happy that he's going to be that he's...
Right, that it's going in a positive direction. Do you remember the last time you had any correspondence with him?
Rick at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we all hung out at WrestleMania, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we always get together. We always... at WrestleMania or some of the other bigger shows, we'll see each other.
X-Pac, hearing this, do you think there's a chance that he could get back in the ring at some point?
Fuck no. No way.
Not for fighting, but for just making an appearance?
Yeah. Yeah. Triple H even said, I think he was on ESPN or something. Excuse me. I think he mentioned that Rick would walk down the aisle again. Because that's one of Rick's sayings. You got to walk that aisle. You got to be the man. You got to beat the man. All that stuff.
What would that do for the crowd at that event?
Well, everybody loves the Nate. Imagining Rick passing away is just ridiculous.
Unfathomable.
The whole business, the whole industry is just oh my God, I can't even imagine not having Ric Flair around,
All right, Michael.
Next story is one that I think you're going to really love, Roxy. It's
for
the first picture kind of Luke Skywalker came out. He was on a Hungarian magazine.
So I'm going to stop you right there. It's not the first picture that came out of him. Many pictures have come out of him wearing this outfit.
Really?
Yes. So this is one of many pictures. This is why this is a confusing story right here. So what happened was there's this Hungarian magazine that has a picture of Luke Skywalker in essentially dark colors, dark clothing. And if you are a Star Wars fan, what you know about that is that if you are a Jedi, you're typically in white and light clothes. If you are a Sith, you wear the dark stuff like this. So there's been a lot of speculation about what's going to happen. And there has been for a long time since photos of him started getting released. Now, what's interesting about this particular photo is, number one, tomorrow is Force Friday. And Force Friday is the one day a year where Star Wars puts out certain Star Wars news stories. Yeah. So they always do that. We're expecting tomorrow either another trailer for Last Jedi or potentially more news on the Han Solo movie, or maybe even we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But this was something that came out, and now it's resurging. People are talking about this. And in this particular photo, if you look in the bottom left-hand corner, there looks to be kind of a red hint, red glow or red tint to it. So people are speculating that he has a red lightsaber reflecting off him or something like that.
Which also is reflective of the dark side.
Which, of course, yes. Anybody who is a Sith uses a red lightsaber. Right. So what's interesting about this whole lightsaber argument and what's going on with his clothes is that people are very quick to be like, he's gone to the dark side. That's what's happening. Here we are. Luke finally has done it. If you ask me, I think that he is probably not gone to the dark side. I don't think that Luke could ever get to the point where he's a Sith. But if you remember his training, now just to get real nerdy on you guys, Keep in mind, he lost Obi-Wan and he lost Yoda. So he never fully got every bit of training that he needed.
Right,
and
really.
So I think that he is probably force neutral. I don't think that he is all the way Jedi anymore. I think he's probably no longer going by Jedi. I think that he can't fully embody or embrace that. But no way is he a Sith. I think he is force neutral.
Has there been anyone else in the Star Wars universe that's been force neutral?
Yes, there is. It is, as of recent canon, it's called Bendu, I think on Star Wars Rebel or something, yeah. where you are force neutral. But Sean, I just can't picture him being total Sith. I mean, it's our Luke.
I know.
And even if he did go to the dark, it couldn't last long. I just don't picture it, and I don't think they would spoil it by putting this on a Hungarian magazine with, like, nothing against Hungarian magazines.
I wouldn't mind seeing him venture over to the dark side before he redeems himself in another movie.
Possibly. We'll see where
just
they're going with that.
Just following in his father's footsteps.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I'm excited about it.
I am, too.
It's so funny with Star Wars news how one thing is, like, everything to people, you know, with these Star Wars films. Like, you could have a speck of dirt on your shoulder, and it would be zoomed in on, blown up, and somebody would write an article about it somewhere. Like, yeah. That's
cool.
Yeah.
That people care that much.
About
that's,
something.
That's kind of beautiful.
Even during the three, you know, the ones that the prequels that they people don't like as much. All those, like when they were making those movies, they were great about like leaking little things and people being so caught up in it. Yeah.
And I actually think that those movies get too bad of a rap. I'm probably the only Hayden Christensen fan left, but I actually like them.
I like the overall story of the three movies. I loved it.
It's not a Jar Jar kind of guy.
I was going to say, Roxy, yeah, mean you're a Jar Jar fan?
I don't happen to be a huge Jar Jar fan, no.
I thought it was, you know, CGI heavy, but, you know, I mean, that's just how it was at the time.
Ash, do you think Luke's going to the dark side?
I think he is.
Good answer.
Good answer.
Michael, thanks. Bring us somewhere else.
Well, for this, I'm actually going to turn to our Wonder Woman, Lauren LaGrasso, who found a very interesting story about a previous Wonder Woman story and Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, yes. So there was an article that came out today, Rox. I thought of you because I know you're very much into all the superheroes.
Yeah, and
stuff.
I haven't had time to really know about this, so I'm excited for you to tell me.
Yeah, so there was a Justice League movie. I don't know what just came out of my mouth, that featured an epic Wonder Woman introduction. So there was an article that came out on EW where Josh Horowitz spoke about, Jay Baruchel. I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah, you know him from all of the, like, Seth Rogen films. Yeah. He's that funny dude who's skinny.
So he would have been playing the film's villain, Maxwell Lord, and he revealed new details about the project. And he said the aesthetic choices that they were making and the story and the character choices were just so ballsy, and we won't ever get to see it. He was bummed about this. He also gushed over how amazing Wonder Woman's entrance was. And this was supposed to come out in 2009. It first got announced in 2007, but budget issues happened. They were going to film it in Australia, but then the money fell through. And it was supposed to have was going to have Megan Gale as Wonder Woman, Armie Hammer as Batman, DJ Katrona as Superman, Adam Brody as The Flash, and Common as the Green Lantern.
Everything about this is so strange.
What do you think about it? Yeah, because it kind of seemed like he was the guy who was like, I should have been there. And
he's fantastic. He's fantastic. Having the film's villain be Max Lord would have been a bad move.
Who is Max Lord? For those that don't know, because I have no idea.
It would be like having a not villainy enough villain. Like, you know how, because I don't want to give any spoilers for anybody who didn't see Wonder Woman, but like, there's a villain that looks like a villain that transforms into a villain. Mm-hmm. It'd almost be like having a Lex Luthor as the main villain. You guys know Lex Luthor?
Of course.
As in there wouldn't be enough of an obstacle to overcome?
Well, not even that. He's just
too likable?
Just a human. Just like a person, a mastermind figuring out situations. Not enough of like, you need a big bad, not just somebody. I could see Max Lord having an overarching like feud. In like Lex Luthor, who's in a lot of the movies and is manipulating and pulling puppet strings, but he's not the actual.
It's not the monster.
Yeah.
It's not the dragon that needs to be slain.
That's what I would think. I mean, pull up a picture, boof.
Maxwell Lord Boof.
Boof. Boof. Yeah. And for other reasons, this is so strange. 2009, what year did Green Lantern with Hal Jordan come out as Ryan Reynolds?
Let's see.
What year was that? Because obviously Common wouldn't have been playing Hal Jordan, but he would have been playing John Stewart, I'm assuming. And I knew that about Common. But then Common was in the DC universe now, and he like is there and then gone in a hot second. So this is Max Lord on Supergirl. So if you watched the show Supergirl, you would know that he kind of like manipulates situations and is sciencey and techy and plans different organizations and things. But like I said, pulling the strings, not the like scary big bad monster that you'd want to see. So maybe he was behind the scenes like that.
Green Lantern came out in 2011.
Green Lantern came out in 2011. Oh, so this was even before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird to me because it comes at an odd time to say something like this. Wonder Woman was just so incredible.
Yeah.
And that's the movie that we're getting prior to Justice League. Justice League, which people are really excited about based on how Wonder Woman was, not based on how Batman v Superman was. So it seems like kind of a strange thing as an actor to be like, but our Justice League would have rocked. Like,
so what do you think his purpose was then?
I think that he's a comedian, and I think probably part of him really wanted to play that role. It's a more serious role, and I think he is saying, like, this Justice League is coming up. That's cool. Ours would have been great also, and just kind of getting some credit for them. Armie Hammer would have made a actually horrible Batman, like just about the worst. Our Wonder Woman is a perfect Wonder Woman, so I can't imagine anybody else. There's just everything about this is a strange.
Better Batman, him or Ben Affleck?
I love Ben Affleck. I think he's amazing Batman. So,
I'm gonna agree with you.
Yeah,
I like
incredible.
Him as Batman.
I think that this combination is weird. It also would have meant that in 2009 there would have been a Justice League. So instead of building up to a Justice League, we would have started with Justice League, which would have been a weird move for the rest of a DC slate. That's my nerdy insight on this.
Appreciated.
I'm excited to look more into this because usually when a story comes out like this, now they're going to, EW and all these other sites are going to call every single person whose name is mentioned and be like, what do you think about this? And somebody inevitably puts their foot in their mouth and says something stupid like, I would have been a better Wonder Woman. And then that gets everywhere.
It must be such a bummer for those people, though, to see how amazing those films have come to be
and to
know they weren't a part of it.
Of course, and people get bitter. Like, did you see James Cameron's comment?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
He just ripped apart the movie and Patty Jenkins and Wonder Woman, and it was like, what the fuck are you doing?
That comes off as so
I think he's
so
got small penis syndrome or
it
something.
It was so weird. Like, the entire thing was bizarre, and she came back at him and was like, what? Like, why are you doing this? He essentially was trying to say that you can't be a beautiful looking woman and like have that on screen and call it forward movement for females in film because you either have to be badass or you can be beautiful. He didn't say it in those words, but that's how it came
across.
That's
very unempowering.
It was so stupid.
Knucklehead.
It was really bad.
James Cameron.
Yeah, so people seem to be putting their two cents into this current slate right now. Anybody who feels like they could have had a job there or was wronged by them. I don't know.
Well, moving on to another Wonder Woman who actually I don't think a lot of us millennials know about, but today was the 20th anniversary of the passing of Princess Diana. And I think we all remember it as kids, but looking back on it today, I guess I didn't realize a lot of the details that surrounded not only her passing, but I guess where she was in society. I mean, knowing that she, I guess I didn't know that at that point she had already divorced from Prince Charles. And, like, not was excommunicated from the royal family, but was certainly not with them at all. And even hearing a couple stories today about their reaction to this kind of hurt them because they just put out, like, a statement and said, oh, we're really sorry that she passed because she wasn't one of them at that point.
Right.
And she was
going to
marry Dodi Fayed. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, she was going to marry, an Arab.
Yeah.
And holy shit, that would have been just...
Who was with her
insanity.
In the car, right? Yeah. He was with her in the
car. That's right.
What's fascinating about this is I was a very little kid when this happened. But Ashley, I have a feeling you were probably the same way. I was obsessed with her. I thought she was the most beautiful, wonderful. I looked up to her. I had her Beanie Baby sitting in my room. It was like one of three Beanie Babies that I had with me on my bed every night when I went to sleep.
The white one?
Was it's
white
purple, with like a, right?
The purple. It
oh,
was purple.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I had
no, that's the bride. That's the bride
I'm thinking
edition.
The bride one.
Yeah,
okay.
The bride edition. You're talking about the regular Princess Di.
But there was a Princess Di bride one?
It was either the Princess Bride Di special edition, or I know what you're talking about, because
it was
white.
My neighbor had all the ones that no one could get, so I remember seeing it in a box, a clear box up high. It was
she
Princess
was called
Diana.
The People's Princess because she yeah. broke protocol and, like, did, I mean, just, I mean, she put herself in with the people. And she also, as a mother, didn't let her children be raised by nannies. She spent time with her children.
She was
And that's
fantastic.
Why they're growing up to be
good
kids.
So it Michael, I think most millennials are with you where this was like not over their heads, but kind of just not even on their radar, really. We didn't know what was going on. But, oh God, I loved her.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching the wedding.
Yeah.
I was probably, I don't know how old I was when the wedding, but I was extremely young, 10, something like that. Probably the same age you guys were when she died or something,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And, boy, everybody watched that. People love weddings.
I've seen
just makes
the footage.
You think, like, if today there was technology, we all had, like, she had a cell phone that she could text somebody and say, like, get me help or something, like,
Twitter.
Where there was a quick something. Well, she had, there was nothing quick for her. She was so helpless in that second.
It's so sad, too, because her sons are coming out now. They're doing this huge, I think it's a docu-series that they're going to be airing on TV. But they said the thing that's haunting them most now is the fact that there were photographers, the same ones that caused that accident, taking pictures of her as she died in the back seat. Rather than calling for help, rather than trying to even help her themselves, they were taking pictures documenting her dying. And it just shows how sick it can be when we get to a level of fame where people forget about your humanity.
Well, one of the French firefighters, you guys, I don't know if you saw the Rolling Stone article, but one of the firefighters that was with her during the time that she passed away and tried to help her on the scene of the accident actually came out, and they have an entire article featuring him on Rolling Stone. And he was talking about how he was rubbing her heart, you know, trying to get her to breathe again, that she did breathe for a second, but then they put her in the ambulance, and he thought she was going to live when they put her in the ambulance, but she passed away. It was just so there are people like that we're helping. So I just want to say, like, on there were two
there were
obviously
people.
There were people there, but you know, the photographers, absolutely. I mean, that there's a point in time where your job, put your job away. Like, this is disgusting, and this is morally just so wrong in so many ways.
It is a
very put your camera away.
I agree with you guys, but I think it's a thinner line than we're giving credit for. And I think that Maria could speak best to this as somebody who has been a reporter who's traveled all over the world and gone to people and countries that she's dealing with kids with HIV and AIDS and in places where people are suffering from natural disasters and all of these things. And there is something to be said about things being documented and why that is important. Of course, I'm not saying that you should take photos of somebody instead of helping them while they're dying, but documentation of things is how we pass on accurate stories.
Well,
and it's a thin line. In this case, you guys are, I'm totally with you, but I understand when you can get in those modes and you're trained to document what's happening and not be a fly on the wall.
Well, there was a case even with Hurricane Harvey that the CNN reporter got cussed out because she was at a shelter where they were bringing people in, and it was a woman and her two kids, and it was heartbreaking because they had just been rescued. The woman said she had been stranded for several days, and as a reporter, you know, she's asking the questions, and the woman, like, does a 180 and starts yelling at her and says, how are you guys here, you know, putting effing mics in our faces when this is what we just went through? And it's tough as a reporter. I mean, I've been in those situations where you're having to ask the difficult questions so that everyone who is not in that shelter or not in Houston knows what they're going through. And it, like you said, it's a very thin line, Rox.
Yeah, and you have to be able to differentiate. Like, if you can save somebody's life in that moment, and it's an individualized situation, it's not like Princess Di's death was going to cause thousands of deaths all over the place. Then you need to save somebody's life. But the woman who's reporting on a flood, that's how you get coverage and money. That's how you get money, is by asking those questions and broadcasting that and getting people to donate funds and helping through that helps more people a lot of times than helping that individual person. So, yeah, I feel for you, Michael, on that. I know that you covered a lot of different hard stories, and I think that's a very difficult job.
I can be honest. That's why I got out of the industry.
Because it was too emotionally draining?
Because too many situations of going around and literally having to knock on doors or talk with people who were family members of someone who had passed away or who was significantly injured. And I felt like at a certain point I was lying to myself a lot, where you're going and you're saying, we're trying to get this information because people want to know who you are. And let everyone know who you are so that way they're remembered better. And that's like maybe 30 or 40 or 50% true. But on the other hand, you're looking at it from a business perspective. I'm trying to get the best story. I'm trying to beat these other networks and get the best footage and interviews. And just going home to that every night was tough. And again, I felt like I was lying to myself a lot of times and going in for selfish reasons instead of actually being like, I'm trying to be, you know, sympathetic and empathetic. And it's hard. It's hard to be able to do that day after day, and it just got old really fast.
Yeah, you must feel like crap about yourself at some points, but then there's got to be some great moments, too, where you feel like you are making a difference and you are getting somebody's story out. So
absolutely, yeah. There was definitely a lot of those where you're the one who's the only person that they're able to talk with and to be able to open up with, and it helps for them to be able to open up as well. But like you said, a lot of times, you know, you can include a GoFundMe, so you're actually able to help them get their story out, be able to help, you know, other people provide care and provide assistance. And that's certainly what we're seeing a lot with Harvey. Switching on to another story, talking about kind of famous weddings. This one is maybe a 21st century famous wedding. The latest bachelor couple broke up. I know. Let's all say something that we're really shocked about. But
I actually think that that's a story within itself, because I know some people wouldn't be surprised, but I feel like if you're going to go on, Nick the Bachelor went on, what, 3 or 4 times, Michael?
Three times.
And he finally picks somebody, and now they're separated. I feel like I saw this coming a million miles away when he picked her. He should have picked Corinne. Think about all the things that this would have solved. At the time, I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
If he had picked Corinne at the time, she was so obsessed with him, and she was loaded, and she wanted to be, we're bringing it 360, full circle. She wanted to be his sugar daddy. She was like, I have millions of dollars. I run a company. I want to take care of you. I love you. I want to buy you nice things. And he kind of looked at her as a joke. But if he had been with her, they would have had a wonderful life. They would have just had sex all the time and had sex on all of the money they had with her great, wonderful family in Florida. He could have gotten out of the scene, been in love, had kids. She wanted to pop out them babies. And then on the flip side of it, she wouldn't have had a lawsuit with DeMario. She would have saved his life because he, you know, his name has been dragged through the mud. Her name's been dragged through the mud. And then he wouldn't be separating. And I just feel like if he had picked Corinne, we could have saved ourselves a lot of trouble.
You saw, though, last night, and Bonjour brought this to my attention, DeMario and Corinne were hugging it out. And they have peace, and they are having fun.
I did see.
And it's interesting because his name now may not be Tom. She could have actually turned this all around for him.
Possibly, but I don't think that you ever look better than you previously looked when you have these allegations against you. So,
and you can
when
never
you're getting
take...
hugged by the girl, though? And
yeah, even then.
It made me think initially that
said,
this was made up. It
you had to say, you had to say, if you saw, I guarantee you, her accusing her or him getting accused of sexual assault makes headlines, and people see it way more than they're hugging. That one doesn't get out there that much.
You didn't see it?
You can never take the first couple weeks, or what has it been, 2 months? You can never get that time back where he's getting threats, where he is having to deal with all the bad negativity.
I mean, if
losing his job.
Okay, so why do you think he's so happy to see her? These pictures make it look like nothing's ever happened. There's no bitterness. There's nothing.
Yeah, but you don't think they knew press was there?
No, of course they did. But my point is, if your whole life is gone, at least 2 months of it.
I think he's smart. I think he knows.
You're smiling. You're happy. He looks beyond happy. He looks really happy. And she looks really happy. And they look like they got away. Like, look at the two of them. There's a picture of them. And they're like, ha, ha, ha. They've got, like, their mouths open. It's not that one. There's one of them. And you're just like, wait, what is happening here? This is not like, let's make up. This is like, I've been friends with you all along.
Hmm. I don't know.
He can never get that trauma back, though. He's been through getting his name dragged through the mud, and he can never get that part of his life back, you know?
And there's, I think they're smart. I think they know this is a photo op. I think deep down, even if this is production that sued him and had nothing to do with her or whatever you want to call it, I think in his heart, he probably has some kind of ill will towards this girl, because I would.
Yeah.
I would. I have to say. But Michael, that wasn't actually the story we were going to tell.
No, the story we were getting towards was because since they just broke up, the question is, what happens to the ring? And a lot of these bachelor rings are upwards of like $95,000. So no one is like Corinne, where it's like, oh, $95K, I'll just hand the ring back. For Vanessa, who was a school teacher, $95,000 is a lot of money. So there's been mixed reports because...
I feel like there has to be something in their contract about what...
Well, you would think. So there was mixed reports because when Ben and Lauren broke up in May, I think, it was a source said that, oh, the money gets given back to the ring creator, who is Neil Lane. But in the recent story that I read, they actually talked with Neil, and Neil said, I don't know what happens to it because, you know, from my perspective, once I hand it out there to the production company and to the couple... That's it. I never get it back.
Well, why would any money go to him? The only reason he has it out there is so that he gets the publicity. The publicity has already been gotten. So the production company would get the ring.
Do you think so?
Yeah. They
could, absolutely.
No, the initial story that I read, though, said it went back to the designer.
No, Neil Lane, he would never get the ring because he gave the ring. He gave it so that it could be on air. And you can have the whole... Everybody knows that when they do the ring things, that those are his rings. That's why he has that deal.
Yeah, he was paid in full.
Yeah,
I feel like the network gets it. I feel like this was completely done by the network, not by the production company anyway. This
resize it and use it for the next season.
I think either that or it gets sucked up and the woman keeps it.
Maybe.
What I was going to say, I think we should go around, and I want to hear from the ladies. And I know we have a couple solo ladies in the live chat, and I want to know.
What's a solo lady? Is that a single lady?
A single lady.
Is that a nicer way to put it? Like, does that hurt people's feelings less?
No, I don't.
I'm
didn't
a
mean
solo
it.
Kind
I didn't
of
mean
lady.
It like any way like that. But what do you do if you're in a situation that, whether you're married and have the ring and you separate, or if you are in a relationship where you are engaged, do you give the ring back?
No, you don't be a moron. Oh, okay. In this situation, he didn't pay for the ring, so you definitely don't be a moron and you don't give it to him.
Oh, no, certainly not for him, no.
But if somebody proposed to me, if the ring was an heirloom, no question, no matter how long I've had it or how long we've been together.
Or what the person may have done to you?
Or what the person's done to me. If they cheated on me and murdered half my family, maybe not all that, you give it back. Like, if it's theirs and it's an heirloom and it means more to them than it does to you and that...
Then they should have thought of that before they cheated.
Okay, maybe, but I would still give it back as a person. If it's a ring that I feel as if I've contributed as much to as they have, as in, like, it's our money and I make money and... We have a fund, and you bought this ring.
And you actually maybe helped design it.
Yeah. You potentially keep it. In my case, the ring that I'll be wearing is my mother's, so I fucking keep that, obviously. Ash, what are your
you'll
thoughts?
Be wearing your mother's ring as an engagement ring?
Yes.
So when the time comes that somebody, I don't want to put pressure on anybody, someone asks you one day, that person's going to have to ask somebody for that ring.
Yep.
Got it. Who has that ring?
My dad.
And your sister Skye's okay with that.
Yes, she is spooked by it. It was my brother that wasn't okay with it, actually. We like went to blows about it because he wanted to propose to his wife with that ring.
Oh.
And it was a big issue, which is a story for another time.
Oh, I'm so interested. Okay. Well, we'll talk about another time then.
Yeah.
What would I do? I would keep the ring 100% no matter what.
No matter what?
Absolutely. Why not?
I wonder if legally you can do that.
I would do it. Try to sue me.
So here's the question. Do you keep it to sell it?
No, I'll do whatever I want with it.
I'll sell
it or I'll keep it.
Okay, he's not trying to get a ring from you right now, honey, so he's just asking.
I'm just saying, I'll sell it or I'll keep it. I don't know. What do I do? I'll eat whatever I want to do with it.
But that's what he's asking. What do you want to do with
it? Sell it or I'll keep it, depending on... If the guy cheated on me, I would sell it. If we ended nicely and I want to keep it as a memory,
what are you
going to
do? You're
going to
wear
it? No, just keep it in my jewelry box.
You're going to keep the ring in your jewelry box.
And maybe I'll wear it on my other hand.
Or on a ring. Or on a necklace.
No, but maybe on the other hand. or I'll make it, or I'll get it crushed
right,
into like
so
a bracelet.
Ash, let me ask you this. If somebody proposes to you with that ring, you get married, you wear it, you guys get divorced, you keep it. Somebody else goes to propose to you. He knows you have that ring. Do you let him propose
no
with the
way.
Ring you already have?
No way. He buys a brand new ring.
So now you have two rings.
I don't want someone getting off that freaking easy, a new ring, an old ring. Hey, I know you like that ring.
Ash,
you have that ring.
This
we
is
have
where,
that ring.
This is where your crazy starts to show a little bit.
No freaking way. I have to go through a whole divorce. You better get me a new ring.
Please, shot on Sean's face when I did. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
All right, Lauren, what's going on?
If I break off the engagement, then he gets it back. If we actually get married, then I keep it. And well, like you said, if it's a family heirloom, he can have it back. But if he bought it for me, we designed it together, and we got married, then I'm gonna keep it.
Bonjour.
I don't know. I think it's a very tricky thing. I agree about the heirloom thing. Definitely, we'll give that back if it's an heirloom.
Ash is keeping it.
Ash is keeping
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
The thing is,
I don't care if it was your grandmother's.
The thing is, like, what are you going to do with it, you know?
Sell it.
I actually knew someone that got a divorce, and then she got the ring, and she made, like, another jewelry with it. Like, she made I think it was a bracelet, or she cut it in half and got two diamond earrings, so maybe something could be
she
done.
She cut it in half?
Yeah, you can, like, recycle the diamond,
interesting.
I think.
I've heard of people doing things like that, like melding your old boyfriend.
But it devalues the diamond by so much.
I wouldn't mess with the stone. I mean,
yeah.
You could take it out of the setting and all
out,
that.
It's fine,
and reset
but don't cut
it. But, yeah.
That would be my advice.
Yeah, but are you going to really wear, like, Ashley, you're broken up, you're divorced, you're going to really wear that ring? No.
What, the heirloom?
Yeah, you
the,
like a
no
necklace.
No offense,
out of
I mean,
diamond,
some heirlooms
it.
Are usually, and not in Roxy's case, because but I'm saying typically they're really old and, like, not,
worthless.
I don't know. My version of an heirloom, I mean, if it's not that cute, I'll give it back. But if it's, like, I may just hold it over his head if he cheated. I'm going to keep it for a while. Let him, like, beg for it for a
Ray
little
Lynn,
while.
Ray Lynn, where did you get here? Hi, honey.
I had, like, a few, like, what? 40 minutes ago.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad I noticed so quickly. Yeah. What do you do with the ring?
I'm keeping it unless it's a family heirloom. I definitely agree. You know, my
even
mom,
if you're just engaged and don't actually get married?
Actually, that's funny because my mom was engaged and he told her at first when they broke up that she can keep it. And then they tried to reconcile, didn't work. And then he asked for it back.
And she gave it back?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think if somebody asks for it back, even just to save face, you just do it.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
give it back because, like.
Because they're a dick.
Yeah. If somebody asks for it back, I think you just say, like, fine, if that's what it means to you. But, like, what are they going to do with
yeah.
it?
But, you know, my mom exactly. still has the ring from when my dad was married to her.
What?
So, and they recently got separated a few years ago, and she still has the ring.
Where is it now?
With her.
Well, I don't. What
does
would your dad?
No, she doesn't wear. But it's funny, like the rings that people have let my mom, because my mom's been proposed to like a few times, and the rings that she does have, she wears them as jewelry, and she now wears them on her wedding finger to scare men off as a tactic.
That's a good way to pick up dudes.
Exactly.
Raylan, do you think that your dad would ever ask for the ring back? I mean, like, not to be an insensitive person, but what would he do with it? Your father, like, what would he do
no,
with
I
it?
Don't think he would, only because my mom would want to hand it down to me, so I don't think he would ask for it back.
And I think he'd probably want that for you.
Yeah.
That's a good point, too. Especially if you have a kid with somebody, it's a whole new level.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, we let our crazy flags fly a little bit on the show. Sean's scared to be sitting in the studio with us anymore.
No, I'm not. I've been through all that whole...
What happened?
Just, you know, you break up and then, you know, there's a ring and...
What'd you do?
Well, I wanted it back and the thing is I ended up not getting it back in the end. It was a really crazy deal, you know?
Is it hard to ask for it back?
At that time, no, it wasn't. No, because when you're really pissed off, you know, I mean, it's a lot easier to say certain things.
I agree with that.
Are there anything, you know, obviously none of us are married currently. Is there anything for you guys that it's like, if you ever end a relationship that you want certain gifts back?
No.
Netflix password back. For sure.
Hashtag millennial.
I've done that. Don't go on my
I would
Netflix
never,
password.
Ever ask for a gift back. I think that that's like ludicrous.
Yeah, that's
if
insane.
You give somebody a gift, it's theirs. You don't own it.
No, I've seen people when somebody's broken up with them, they've given their gifts back because they didn't want them anymore or they wanted to, you know.
One of my roommates has a watch, a Fossil watch. That's nice that his ex got him. And the girl's married now, so they're long separated. But he still has the watch, and it says, I love you, comma, Katie. So it's like you can't wear it.
I think that if I started dating your roommate, I would like make him get that unengraved.
Would you really? That would
bother you, right? Well, he doesn't wear it, so I'm like, well, you need to sell it to a guy.
It's going to be hard to sell something with an engraved.
You need to sell it to a Katie.
Message. Katie lover.
You know, it's interesting as a little tangent here. My boyfriend right now has a picture of his ex-girlfriend hanging in his room. And it's part of a collage his mom made him. There's like a collage, a decoupage of like 50 photos. But the biggest one in the center is a picture of him and his ex-girlfriend. And every day that I wake up at his place, the first thing I see when I open my eyes is a picture of him and his ex-girlfriend. And for like a year and a half, I did it. And I just like swallowed it and was like, whatever. It's something his mom made him. And then finally, after a year and a half, I said something and I was like, listen, like, you don't have to actually do anything about this, but maybe we could move it. Like, I just can't open my eyes to it every time. And so he moved it to the other side of the bed, which like...
Wait, it's near the bed?
Yeah.
So when you're having sex, like you look and you see it?
Sometimes.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
It's like not the best solution. And
can it be out of the room, perhaps?
Why don't you just replace the picture with another picture?
Well, the thing I said to him was like, we're moving in together, so...
That's not coming.
It's not that it's not coming, but like I might have to plaster my picture over that picture.
Why can't you just open the back and put a new frame in?
It's not one of those. Like his mom is an artist. She like has designed an entire thing of his life growing up, and it's like shining there in the middle.
It's not a. It's you're not out of line for that, Roxy. That because here's the thing: as a man, it would be very difficult for a man. To be in the same situation.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
men do not fucking take too kindly to looking at a picture of another dude that had been up inside of his current.
They're even worse at it than we are.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't
right.
you just do the Gumby thing?
What's that?
You guys don't know about that? Really?
No.
Oh. No. Okay, well, whenever my friends would have pictures of their exes, they would always, and they thought they looked really good in it, and they didn't want to cut the picture because it was just they were too close. They would print out a picture of Gumby and just put the picture of Gumby with them.
I feel like in this beautiful piece of artwork his mom made, like a glaring Gumby in the middle would look kind of bizarre, but I do like that. So I think back to the watch. I think if somebody said, I love you, Katie, on their watch, I'm a pretty chill girl, but I don't know if I'd want them wearing that every day. It's just like a weird reminder.
It's literally just sitting like in plain view on a shelf.
He can get it unengraved. That's what he should do.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
How much does that cost?
Cheap.
Like literally
it's
$20.
Just polishing.
Yeah.
Wow.
How much does a Fossil watch go for?
I think it was probably a couple $100
gift. Yeah, I wouldn't even waste your time.
Ashley only wears the finest of designers.
Yeah, I don't at all, but I'm just saying I wouldn't go out of my way to get a $200 watch unengraved. Just sell it.
Just so you know, to most people, a couple $100 watch is an expensive watch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I hate watches.
I would never spend that much on a watch.
I would never.
Now we're all on the same page. Michael, you got anything else for us?
Well, you know, speaking of people who just don't mind giving a couple $100 gifts, you know, Trump and Hurricane Harvey.
Poor.
Actually,
he's poor.
He's huge, hugely poor. He is
huge,
the poorest
hugely
ever.
Poor.
He donated $1 million, and he is not alone, actually. It's been incredible, and I don't know if this is just because Texas, and I know Texas is very southern and very much of your with your neighbors, but
you could fit right in.
I would like to live in Texas at some
point. I know
point.
You appreciate that.
The
I meant
support,
it as a compliment.
The support in for Texas has been amazing. I mean, obviously, Trump gave $1 million. The list of celebrities that have given countless amounts of Kardashians are like 500,000. The Rock, Kevin Hart. But
Sandra
I know J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt started a goal on Sunday to raise $200,000. He gave 100. He's like, I would love to raise another 100. 5 days later, that is currently at $12 million. And it keeps growing. And so the support has been amazing. And it reminds me of that in the darkest of times, the best of people show up.
And Michael, not to say that they're not doing what they should, because like you're right, it is amazing. But as it should be.
Absolutely.
We're humans and people are suffering. And if you have money, this is where it should go. And even if you don't have money, $5, $10, whatever you can donate. it matters. It makes a difference. And if that was you, you would want it. So I'm not surprised by this. And I don't even want to praise too much because this is what you, like, goddamn fucking right. You're Donald Trump.
And I wouldn't be, like, if I had if my net worth was $10 billion, I wouldn't be patting myself on the back over $1 million donation. $1 million isn't what it used to be.
It isn't, but what Sean, to that point, a dollar is a dollar to rich people poor people. So $1 million is still a lot of money.
It's a shitload.
I didn't mean it that way.
But.
No, I know you didn't. And I didn't mean it that way either. I'm just saying so that we cover both of our butts.
Yeah.
It's still great. But as you should.
Yeah.
As you should.
I read for this hurricane, they said it will likely be the most expensive to repair. I believe around $168 million in damage was done. The other highest was Hurricane Katrina, obviously back in 2005, was $108 million. So this is $60 million. It's staggering if you hear the statistics of what this was and just the amount of rainfall. Over 50 inches in a matter of 5 days. That's
Mayweather gave $200 million, you know. To the hurricane.
No way.
No, he didn't.
No fucking way.
Is it fake news? Was
yeah,
it fake news?
He wouldn't have gave $200 million.
He has to pay the government that. He gave. Oh, really?
Ash, look it up because news. I actually wouldn't be surprised
if it
was a very large number. I didn't hear it.
I heard they gave $200 million.
I didn't hear it, but he just from his fight alone, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he gave several million dollars.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah, but $200 million would cover all the damage, so I doubt that.
He was hundreds of millions in debt to the IRS before the fight, though. So
yeah,
I'm not
but then
sure.
He's still taking pictures of him with millions of dollars places. So I don't know about that number, but I'm sure he donated something.
Absolutely.
You would hope so. Obviously,
again,
after
as he should.
Kind of a payday.
Yeah.
And
as you should.
Here's how I look at it. Like for people that don't have a lot of money, like okay, $5. You know. It's fine. Okay. I used to look at this when I was broke. Like, okay, if somebody needed money, like if I saw somebody on the street and I had $10, I'd give them $3. Like, I couldn't buy much more with 10 than I could 7 anyways, you know?
Yeah.
So it's
I mean,
like,
you look at it, if there's 300 plus million people in the U.S., if one out of every three people gave a dollar, you would have $100 million.
Yeah. And it's true what they say. You can't take it with you.
You can't take it with you. So, real quick, before we leave this topic, what do you guys think about Melania Trump's shoes? That certainly made the news for
some
reason.
I'm so glad you're bringing
this
up because this is like one of the few times I'm going to stand up for the Trumps here. Fuck every single person that made it a bigger story that Melania wore
Manola
high heels.
Blahniks?
Yeah, like,
fuck yeah.
This is insane. You make fun of her son because he wears a t-shirt, but then you make fun of her for wearing heels. She's... Wear whatever the fuck you want. You're going somewhere to help. Are they the most comfortable or practical? No, that's not the point. She's the first motherfucking what are we talking about? Let her wear her goddamn heels.
Not to mention, she wore the heels to the helicopter where she had another change of clothes.
And if she had worn Doc Martens, people would have bitched about that.
That's right.
And if she had worn Tory Burch flats, people would have bitched about
and
that.
And also the problem, not problem, but the reason she's so... gorgeous. So everything she wears, when you see an outfit on somebody who's drop dead gorgeous has an incredible body, everything appears even more
fancier.
Grand and
yes.
fancy. Yes.
yes.
Yeah. So in this case, everything she puts on, she has a pair of black pants on and black high heels. I'm sorry, not everybody makes black pants and black high heels look like Melania makes it look.
I agree.
I will say, and I agree with you, like the focus should be on the people who are suffering and helping those people, 100%. But when I saw the picture, I didn't tweet about it, but my first reaction was, ooh, that looks a little blasé. She's wearing high heels. Like, it looks like she took a long time to get dressed up. Shouldn't her focus be on getting there? I didn't tweet about it, but just to play devil's advocate, I think I get where people were coming from. But the focus
what would you
have
rathered her wear?
I don't know. I'm just telling you, that was my first opinion.
I totally hear you. I just wonder, what's the alternative?
There's no alternative. The thing is, what she's wearing, every other first lady has worn high heels and black pants.
Listen.
It's just that she's so sexy.
The
Everything
focus shouldn't
looks
be
so
on
much
what women are
her.
Wearing anyway.
Yeah.
Like, this is a bad thing. It's just how we're trained.
Yes. She's drop-dead gorgeous, so everything she's going to put on, even if she wears no makeup, she's still going to look like a bombshell.
Yeah. Also, some people like just operate better in heels. Mm-hmm. This girl could run a goddamn mile in heels. So anyway, I thought that was an outrageous thing that people were that was trending on Twitter as number one.
It was huge. It was
huge.
Huge.
Okay, huge. All right, Michael, is that what you got for me?
That is the best of the best that happened in the last couple days.
Sean, you disappointed with that?
Oh, no, I was just.
There's a lot of good news.
Yeah,
Michael Klaus for the win.
Thank you. It was a team effort.
Everybody in, round of applause. Yeah, that's, no, giving, Michael, giving what are you talking about? Millennials don't give credit to other people. It was you and all you, only you. Congratulations to Michael for making the show run. You ran it single-handedly, my friend.
I like how Michael presents it, though. Like,
he does do a good job.
All the little stuff in between.
Yeah, I'm making fun of him, but he actually does a pretty good job with it. And he knows when to move us on.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that's our show for the night, which is your cue, Michael, for the music. Going goodbye to Ashley Daniels. You guys can find her at Ashley Daniels or at Miss Ashley Daniels. One of these days.
I messaged her today.
Whoa!
No response.
No response?
No.
What'd you say?
I just keep copy-pasting my same message. Because it's a good one.
What, it says I'll pay you for my,
it says
my handle?
Yeah. Yeah. It says, like, I told her I'd give her $10,000.
No lie, I actually messaged her the other day, too. Didn't get
you
a reply.
Did? You're full of it. But no, I
told
just
you Michael Klaus does everything.
I want to get a response, but nothing, no. Maybe you guys can all go follow Ashley Daniels on Instagram, and
you
then
have
once
to be,
you get
you have
in,
to be accepted.
She won't accept mine.
Just troll her.
She won't accept mine. Either.
Really? You're lying again, aren't
no,
you?
No, she won't accept. Well, I think she's inactive. So
but
I
she's
think
not. She just went from 11 to 15 followers. She's not inactive.
Yeah,
she's
maybe.
Idiot.
Really building her following. Thanks. Bye.
I think
you're
that happened because it was talked about on this show. I don't think is she posting anything?
She's private, but she won't accept my friend request. She keeps pressing no.
Yeah, we're giving her the followers shit. Yep. We're blowing it. It's at The Real X-Pac.
It is.
I like that little move. It's at Lauren LaGrasso. It's at Bonjour Juliet. At The Only MC. At Roxy Stryer. At The Tomorrow Show. Oh, I wanted to ask you guys to do this for us because I noticed there haven't been as many iTunes comments recently. You guys were killing it before, and I would love if you guys could go to iTunes, rate and comment, subscribe wherever you are on YouTube also. It takes you guys like 30 seconds. It means a lot to us, so give us that thumbs up. Write a comment. If you're in the live chat, stay after. Write it after it's posted. We love seeing what you guys have to say, and in the live chat, it all disappears. So iTunes,
right.
YouTube, do that shit for us because you're our homies.
And that makes a difference.
Yeah, and it makes a goddamn difference.
Yeah, it's not just for the hell of it.
It makes a difference. It really does. And also, we read it. And we want to know what you guys are thinking. And it helps us to plan for future shows when you guys say, we love when you talk about this, or we like when this happens. That's the kind of stuff that we really care about. So make sure you're doing that. Thanks for saying that, Sean. It does make a difference. Also, tweet at Undergaro, our captain extraordinaire. We miss you. We love you. We hope everything's going well on the East Coast. Also to at Maria Menounos, our amazing admiral. And until next show, make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.